This is the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Second half of the show is here. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, and from the owners of Edley's Barbecue, Poncho and Lefty's Cantina, tacos, tequila, beer. The crew is all here today. Chad Withrow in Mount Juliet, Paul Kuharski in Brentwood. I'm Jonathan Hutton in Murfreesboro. David Reed is the chairman of the board for us, making the show happen from downtown Nashville. Today, the three-year anniversary of Jacob Waddell becoming Catfish Jake, throwing the catfish on the ice at Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final between the Predators and Penguins, and the instrument of crime was born.
Seems longer ago that
it does.
That run to the Cup Finals, doesn't it?
It does. Well, that moment for sure feels longer than it was. I lived in a different home. You know, I'm sitting there texting with Jake. Correct me if I'm wrong. Our bosses, no one at the station knew but us. And we sent a text out literally like right as the puck dropped, because we knew it was going to happen quickly, and said, hey, make sure you're watching for the next opportunity of filler time on NBC. And sure enough, Jake did it. We weren't sure if he would actually be able to pull it off, and he did.
He pulled it off, and Jake's pulled off many things in his life, including taking us to the Masters. So I feel like he's a man that just gets things done. Hopefully he'll get it done tonight for LLS at the event over at Mill Creek Brewery at 7:30 with Craig Campbell, the country artist, and I'll be there hosting as well. Hopefully we can raise a lot of money for a great cause.
It's so funny how, as soon as you say the Masters, which was a phenomenal day, I think of Uncle Guy. screwing things up at the end.
I think of my willingness to leave Uncle Guy and just head to Atlanta.
You were so done. You're like, he'll find his way back to Atlanta.
I mean, at some point, guys, we got to make the decision. This is a grown man. We got places.
Chad is saying this 5 minutes after we can't find him. He's like, if he dies, he dies.
Chad was like, he's an experienced man. He can find his way home. It is time to go.
Yeah.
GTFO.
Let's get back. I have this vision of dinner and drinks back in Atlanta. Reviewing our fun himself.
Well, I had Let's visions of doing our show the next day is what I had visions of. And like, at this point, we're not going to find this guy before Tuesday of next week.
So for those that are new to the show, Uncle Guy, Jake's uncle, he got lost, stranded. Because when you go into the gates of Augusta, you can't take your cell phone in or anything like that. So if you get lost on the course and you don't meet back up with your crew at a certain location, if you decide to split up, which we did, you're screwed.
Like, set a meeting spot.
You're not going to be able to find them. And we sat for 3 hours. How long did we wait on him? And ultimately, he was back at the hotel sitting outside, and he didn't contact
anyone. On a rocker. He's on a rocker, just casual as could be.
Was his phone dead?
Looking for him.
What was the situation with the phone? I don't remember why. What was the
excuse? We all got our phones back out of the
home. Yeah, his phone was in the car with us. We left our phones in the car.
It was bad. Such a bad ending to such a great day.
And how did we not think just to immediately go back to the hotel, that maybe he was back at the hotel?
It was preposterous, the idea that he would just go back to the hotel.
Yeah, because you would think we knew where the car was parked. So to me, the logical thing would be, I'll meet the guys at the car.
Well, he waited his whole life to go to a day at the Masters, and he left early and went back to sit on a rocker in front of a crappy hotel.
The man needed a nap, Paul. You should respect that. When the nap is calling, you got to get back for the nap.
I'm a napper, but if you take me to one of the all-time great venues in sports, I'm not taking a nap that day.
We definitely did not nap, and it is a trip that will always live in infamy for the show, for sure. And it was facilitated through Jake, and we've since been multiple times after. So we keep on going. We're not leaving Augusta. We refuse to leave.
I want back.
Coming up, Stephen Godfrey is going to join us in roughly 7 minutes, so we look forward to that chat. We'll get back into some college football discussion, JT Daniels choosing Georgia, and the impact that will have on the SEC and for USC, ultimately. And coming up at 1:15 this afternoon, John McClain will be on the show. Quick reminder, we will have the 180 weekend watch for you. We have it available. Our first one is with Eddie George. Being on Skype right now, we're going to take advantage of every avenue possible. And because of, the ability to record chats, whenever we have a guest on that we deem worthy of recording, We'll put it up for a weekend view. If you missed Eddie George last week, you can search out 104.5 The Zone on YouTube. Our chat with Eddie George available for you to watch, which is cool. And we also did that with Bill Polian. That will be episode number 2 of the 180 Weekend Watch. It's been really cool. We can grow this.
It's been a lot of fun, and the visual element of what we can do with this, I think we're just starting to understand where we can take it and the levels at which we can go. So hopefully this is something that continues.
Look, we ought to be TV stars. we're starting small.
We're starting extremely small. We are late to the YouTube game for sure on all of this. And Reed's just shaking his head going, well, that's another thing I need to load after the show.
Yeah. Reed would be the biggest star of us all on TV. You know, he would.
We're going to need some serious work on our breaks and conversations during the breaks. We've discussed this a lot, but if there's ever a day where we're always on a YouTube channel during the breaks also and audio's on, we're really going to have to work on that.
I think the breaks could be great. I just have to tone down the F-bombs and some of the – we just have to – yeah, we'd have to do some serious work.
The shows that stream live do one of two things. They either play an old clip from the show on the video stream during a commercial break, or they play the break. You see everything going on in the studio, but you're muted.
The thing is, if we play the break, there are certain topics that we can no longer talk about, which means then we're going to really have to have a big conference call after the show to have those conversations that we no longer have during the show. Which really kind of extends the show.
You're saying we shouldn't do this without a raise, Paul?
I mean, I'm all in favor of a raise, but I mean, who's getting raises outside of these esports players that we were talking about on Roger Saffold's team? Who's getting raises post-pandemic?
Well, post-pandemic has a brighter future than current middle of the pandemic.
Yeah, I think post-pandemic, everybody's going to say it's going to be a long recovery after the pandemic.
Paul, come on. We've been together how long? Our contracts are up in January. It's time.
I don't disagree. I'm telling you who's going to disagree.
Chad, look at this. The next example of the softening. You know,
I'm not soft. I'm just telling you what management's going to say. It's very predictable.
We know our value.
Yeah, I know my value. And I know what the piece of paper that they're going to push across the desk is going to say.
A wise man once told me, know your value and add tax.
Which wise man was that?
Keeping that myself because I go to this person quite often.
A wise man once told me that the moment you get paid to do something, you never do it for free again.
Exactly.
Well, that's
which is a great line early in my career. The moment you get paid for a report or an update or a commercial or anything, you don't ever go back to doing it for free.
Ultimately, though, in all seriousness, I want David Reed to get a bump in pay. That's the goal here.
I'm all for Reed getting a bump in pay. I'm all for everybody getting a bump in pay. I also am realistic about the conversations that we will have.
Well, we're giving other avenues for sponsorship. We are the longest running trio in Nashville, Sports Talk. Are we also the longest running foursome?
David, what year did you take over in there?
October of 2016.
Then yes, would be the answer.
Paul, can we just proclaim
I'm
that?
I'm doing the math in my head, and the answer is yes.
You're doing the math in your head? Who are you comparing us to?
I can answer that in the affirmative. The answer is yes.
I mean, Stephen Godfrey.
You don't get this type of longevity in radio that often, is what we're saying.
Stephen Godfrey is about to join us. He's been with us for, 2 years now? And gives great analysis from the college football perspective. And there's a lot to discuss, especially within the SEC and a big quarterback that now joins Georgia.
We're never quite sure also what state of being Godfrey's going to be in when we dial him on Skype. He could be driving the kid somewhere. He could look like a professor. He could be dressed up and cleanly shaven. He could be disheveled. You never quite know what Stephen Godfrey you're going to get every time he pops up on the screen.
But no matter which one we get, he will be running his hand through his hair.
He will be. Godfrey, next on the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. This is 104.5 The Zone. The 180 on 104.5 The Zone, along alongside Chad Withrow and Paul Kuharski. I'm Jonathan Hutton. David Reed making the show happen, and pleased to be joined from Banner Society. And podcast ain't played nobody. Stephen Godfrey on the show. Godfrey, what's up, man?
How are you? Friday.
Paul, you were debating what Godfrey we would get, what look. What do you think about the look with the backwards hat, unshaven?
It was better before he put on the hat. I'm not a backwards hat guy.
We're not hating this, Godfrey. It's a Friday look. It's all good.
You're a handsome man.
I've never been a backwards hat guy, but I got my first haircut on Tuesday in, you know, God knows how long.
Yeah.
So during the shag and quarantine, I mean, you know, most of you guys with like normal haircuts understand it. When it hits your eyes, you just want something to keep it back, right?
Yes.
So I started putting on all these hats backwards. I'm sorry, Paul, if this is triggering you.
See what he said. Most of you guys with normal haircuts. So he immediately narrowed down who he was talking to, and it didn't include me any longer.
It was a very effective shot at Paul, an understated shot.
I was trying to be inclusive. Paul had comments about my hat because of my hair. So, you know, I can only be so delicate.
I can handle it.
JT Daniels to Georgia means what for the SEC East, Godfrey?
That everybody thinks they can do the Joe Burrow thing, to be totally blunt with you. We have seen a long history of USC quarterbacks not fulfilling their potential, both at the pro level as well as at USC themselves. So I'm not necessarily sold on this. I don't think it's a lock. However, you know, the best quarterback in college football this year is probably a Georgia quarterback who's currently at Ohio State. So they do evaluate talent well. I don't think he is necessarily the guy that innovates that offense and brings it into the modern age, but he is talented. So we'll see.
So Georgia specifically, and they're kind of the perfect example of this new world we're in major college football with quarterbacks. But they choose Jake Fromm over Jacob Eason. Jacob Eason goes to Washington and gets drafted ahead of Jake Fromm in the NFL draft. They choose Jake Fromm over Justin Fields. Justin Fields is probably going to be a top 3 to 5 pick in the NFL draft a year from now. So you can make the argument based on NFL draft results that they made poor decision there. But they're also, this is the example of they've got 4 and 5 star quarterbacks already in the room. The other rumor was that JT Daniels was looking at Tennessee, who's got a loaded quarterback room also. The willingness of these programs, Godfrey, to bring in just as many talented quarterbacks as possible, knowing that almost none of them are going to stay. Gosh. And you just pick one and hope that it turns out the best because you know the other guys are transferring out and you're going to be recruiting a backup the next year.
It almost sounds like free agency. What a concept.
Yes.
Because that's exactly what it is. If you recall with Joe Burrow specifically, can you name the other school that he was considering before he went to LSU?
To transfer from Ohio State, you're saying?
Yeah.
I don't.
It was Cincinnati. So my point is this. That was his option. Do you know why he went to LSU?
Because better than Cincinnati?
Highest platform possible to – when these quarterbacks become damaged goods or they transfer out of a top 25 program, what their urgency is so strong, they have to go back to one of those programs and show out. The window is really, really small. And so these guys will go into a room where it's 4, 5, 6 deep, even when you go into a spring ball, a normal cycle of spring ball, because they would rather take the lesser odds to win a starting job at a marquee program than they would go and play 2, 3, 4 more years at a lesser program because of the estimation from scouts, as well as I think people like us in the industry.
What do you make of this Barstool Sports creation of Coach Duggs and now coaching at Tennessee, and the fact that Tennessee has embraced it? Jeremy Pruitt's tweeting about it, welcoming Coach Duggs to Knoxville. The Tennessee football account's tweeting about it. There's now rival teams, their program accounts, subtweeting Tennessee because this guy's winning in a video game against their team, and they're going back to last year's actual results and tweeting that. It's a fascinating case study in making something out of nothing, but I don't really know what exactly it is, to be honest.
Well, it's funny because I wrote about the popularity, the sustained popularity of that video game specifically. And, it, you know, if you're not a gamer and you're listening to this, that video game is not even available on, like, the current sort of hardware that people can go buy, like an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4. So people, it's really become this like vintage pursuit for people who really missed that video game. So I wrote about this because the video game has become like very valuable. Like people are spending hundreds of dollars for this disc. And I didn't know anything about what Barstool was doing at the time. And I got like all the stoolies and the mention going completely nuts on me. This thing, I guess, has been going for like a couple of months. And, you know, this is a great example of us in the media filling the void. And in college football, I think the guys at Barstool who do this don't necessarily like cover college football. I'm not entirely familiar with what's going on, but when you have a 9-month off season, this is kind of what happens. You got to do this kind of stuff, right? I think with everybody in the country kind of having to do this stuff, this is what happens where, I mean, you know, you guys are, we're all kind of in the same boat. And I've said this before, like we've got to fill this time. We have jobs. There's nothing active going on whatsoever. I mean, well, there's NASCAR and there's golf now. And I think the premiership is back, I think, next weekend. But for a long time, we didn't have a single sport to talk about. We had the NFL draft and that was it. So, I mean, if anything, it's an ingenious way to kill some time. And I would give the schools credit for not looking inflexible and having fun with it.
I've been intrigued with the fan bases that have gotten behind this. Because, I mean, it's brilliant to get all the retweets that they're receiving. People are how many people are watching this live, Chad? We were chatting about this. I mean, thousands are watching him play this game.
Yeah. The Twitch streams for NCAA have been going for like 4 or 5 years now. And the subculture around this video game, really, they started being, I would say, passionate about it the moment that that game got canceled, because people have such a tribal feeling with this deal. It's like it comes out every, I mean, I know when I was in college, guys who didn't even play video games would go and get and just this one college football game, and it would come out in early August and late July, and you'd kind of plan your weekend around it, and it was just this thing. It didn't go away. It didn't go away. You can go on eBay right now, and someone will send you a USB jump drive of the updated rosters, if you want them, for college football in the 2020 season right now, that you can then fit into the team so you're playing in the most accurate way possible. So it does not shock me at all. I've talked to people at EA. They can't say this publicly, but they want nothing more than to bring that video game back and have – I mean, it's as popular as Madden or FIFA, and it always has been.
Well, in regards to the NIL that's being discussed, the one thing that is made clear is that NCAA football 2021 isn't happening. Why not? Why is the video game not in the same conversation as the other NIL discussion points that we've had across the sports landscape?
It's a couple of things. One, you have to secure the rights. You're securing the name, image, and likeness of every single active FBS player, and there's no governing body that represents those individuals. They don't have a players union. This is a great example of why eventually they're going to, either at the Power 5 level or the FBS level at some designation, create some sort of representative body for the student athlete. Because what the NFL does when they make a Madden game, or what MLB does, is they secure the logos, the stadiums, all of the visual assets from Major League Baseball for a licensing fee. And then they go and get the likenesses and the names and all of the specific details, like what necklace, you know, Acuna wears when he's at bat, from the Players Association. College can't do that. That's why EA would love to hand them money. They just don't know. There's no way to do it.
Well, and it's all of that is going to be interesting to see how it works out. Something else that we're all following right now is return to play and protocols with COVID-19. We were discussing earlier, Godfrey, about the NHL and their plan to test every player every single day. And the feasibility of that, or the lack of feasibility for other sports to do that, specifically with college football. Would it be possible for every FBS program to test every player that's practicing every single day over the course of a season?
Is it possible? Yes. Is it likely? No. We can't get 50 states to agree on anything. You're going to get 130 completely different programs across the entire country to test. By the way, you're not just talking about your roster. If you're actually looking at risk prevention here, you're talking about 110 odd kids that are moving around in, you know, constant motion around a football facility, in addition to the entire support staff, as well as the athletic staff, depending on how your building is made up, right? Because it's all about points of ingress and egress. So what you're really looking at is on average, let's say 250 to 275 individuals, to be realistic, that we need to be tested every 24 hours for how long? 5 months, 6 months? I mean, this is a level of organization that we haven't seen with most state and city governments across the country. And so that's why I doubt that it could happen. Feasibly, is it possible? Yeah, I guess.
Do you think that we're going to have full participation with fans? Or are we going to see a model like we saw with Iowa State and their AD saying, we're only selling season tickets because we're approaching 50% right now, so we're not going to sell individual game tickets because we believe we're not going to be allowed to sell all the tickets to every game?
I think there's a trapdoor built into everyone's plan right now with the hope that there's some sort of, you know, a vaccine by Labor Day seems insane based on what I've read and the people I've spoken with. I think the best case scenario, we're talking about vaccination for medical professionals by Christmas, maybe. I still think everyone has a trapdoor built in specifically because of they think that some miracle is going to happen where they can sell out their stadium. Here's what I think is going to happen very quickly. I think they're going to let students in on purpose so they can claim that student athletes are allowed to play. And I think high dollar season ticket holders are going to be put in sort of boutique areas. And that's the likeliest outcome.
Stephen Godfrey from Banner Society, our guest. When we come back, I'm going to ask Godfrey about the Athlon Sports College Football Preview. He was a part of it. He had a very labor-intensive task for that magazine that we'll get into when we come back.
That's next on the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. Day 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Godfrey with us from Banner Society. Podcast ain't played nobody. And man, did he work hard on the Athlon season preview, Chad.
Yes, he did. And one of my favorite features of the Athlon season preview, which is in stores now, is that right, Godfrey? You can order it now, buy it now, or is it soon?
So check your local newsstand, and you can order it from the website now, but it's actually on physical newsstands next week.
So next week you can buy these, but I love the anonymous coaches scouting report, right? Yeah, there's the cover. I love the anonymous coaches giving the scouting reports on Rivals. I also find it very interesting to read some of the analysis because of the freedom coaches have to say what they feel when they're anonymous. And how mean almost some of the coaches are about other programs. And I'm thinking, boy, this is a nice recruiting tool also if you really want to trash one of your rivals. And I'm always trying to kind of piece together and see which coach said what. I know you can't ever reveal that. But when you put these together, what's that process like for you when you start to hear and see and read some of these analysis of different programs?
Oh, let me start by saying this. Anyone who considers like gossip to be a female trait has never met a football coach because it is a church sewing circle of just backbiting meanness. But so actually, Chad, you bring up a really good point. Sometimes when I feel like they're going in a little too hard and it's obvious there's some sort of, you know, partisan bias or, I mean, cause what we do, let me back up, is that we get coaches from each conference to talk about their rivals in the conference. So obviously it would serve necessarily for someone to speak ill of another program for recruiting benefits. So what I do is I double up on every conference. So I call there's at least two coaches per conference that don't have any affiliation with one another. And then hopefully their comments kind of dovetail a little bit. So if it feels like it's going too far in one direction, I'll call the other coach to make sure that what's being said is accurate. But yeah, when you finally get them comfortable and anonymous, it is a whole different world than your normal football coach press conference.
So how do you plot out who you're asking about who beyond that? Is it random?
I try and keep it as random as possible. We always want coaches who have interacted, either recruited or coached against the program in question within the previous season. Because do you imagine with the turnover, if you're talking about 25 to 30 programs experiencing some significant change, if not a head coach, you want there to be familiarity with the staff. Sometimes it gets a little tricky. If there's a new coach coming into a conference, they will say, and we will put that in there, hey, like, I'm not necessarily familiar with him in an X's and O's standpoint, but this is what we've heard. And that's as valuable to me because the coaching community is so small. Like, you know that, Paul. They all kind of know each other.
So Candace Story Lee is named the full-time athletic director now at Vanderbilt. No big surprise. Looked like she was being named the full-time athletic director when the interim announcement was made. But if you are a Vanderbilt fan, let's say you're not a graduate of the university, but you are from Nashville, your entire family is a Vanderbilt fan, and you are seeking a bigger commitment to football and men's basketball and everything athletics, is there a reason to be optimistic if you're a Vandy fan right now when they hire from within with someone who's been in the program and around the university for so long? Or was this something that should have been another outside-the-box hire, even if Malcolm Turner didn't work out?
Well, they just did the outside the box hire, and I think from what we know publicly and on and off the record and all that about why that relationship didn't work out, I don't see how anyone could be filled with confidence that Vanderbilt's going to do anything fundamentally different, either from a system standpoint or, you know, an individual sport such as football. Obviously, baseball works for them. Basketball has been kind of a mess, but their football program as it stands right now is not it's not functional. It is not achieving what it should be. And I don't even say that as a criticism of individual coaches or even the head coach. I would preface this by saying I think she comes into a completely loaded situation. It's probably going to be unfair to her because she is going to be evaluated both as a minority and a female in a different way at a program that does not do what it should to be evaluated equally with its peers in the conference. It's yet another example of Vanderbilt adhering to their own standards in isolation. The problem is you don't operate in a vacuum in sports.
I have such a difficult time trying to define success in that AD position at Vandy because of what you're up against and the support you have and don't have or allowed to contact and cannot contact. You know what I mean? Like it is an uphill climb like none other within the conference itself, we know, but I mean, they can say that they want all these great things for Vandy. I believe them.
Yeah.
But it's not like I believe that it's actually going to happen.
I mean, I can do a bar napkin measure of success right now. One, you keep Tim Corbin happy. You keep that program completely functional. Two, you find a way to get back to being a perennial 4 out of 5 year entrant into the NCAA tournament in men's basketball. All right. The biggest one is football, and this is their perennial failure. One, and I am not a facilities guy. I think it's a great way to hide money from people who deserve it in this sport. But the facilities have to change. They have to change. They have to change. The stadium is an embarrassment. I got into that a little bit of a mess when I tweeted what the LSU player was saying in the locker room after the game last year.
Yeah.
It was some prison blank in terms of conditions. So if you want to measure an AD, you secure a new facility completely for football, you either implode that one and rebuild, or you make something like that fairgrounds deal happen. And then the next thing you do is you build about a program that is at minimum a 5-game winner, at minimum. And this program right now, I don't think is given what it needs to be successful.
Would it shock you if Candace Story Lee fired Derek Mason either during the season or at the end of the season for anything football only related? And lack of success? Because that would shock me, quite honestly. I don't think there's anything that he could do this year that's not outside of football with problems that would get him fired.
I am frantically looking at that non-conference to see if there's like a cratering moment that could happen on that schedule. Hang on 1 second. I think if they went buckshot within the conference, which is very, very likely, even with coaching changes at places like Missouri – you know, if you had a first-year Colorado State come in and beat you in Nashville, I think in any other circumstance, then yeah, you would look at replacing that coach. I mean, they play that. Here's the thing: is their non-conference is not awful. Like Louisiana Tech is a formidable G5. Colorado State, even though they went through a coaching stint, I mean, they beat Arkansas twice. So if they were 1-11 or 2-10. And he wasn't fired. I mean, I don't know what more message you could send.
From the sense that just talking with coaches for the Athlon preview and just banter not used for the magazine,
yeah.
Do you get the sense that recruiting during the pandemic where coaches have been sitting around doing nothing but calling recruits and having nothing else to do, do you get the sense it's been the wild, wild west in terms of illegal things going on, or is it about normal? I was reading an article where people wondered if there were more underhanded offers being made this offseason than ever before because of all of the different people talking for 30, 45 minutes at a time with families.
I think it's possible, Hutton, but I also think that now that it looks like whatever is going to happen is going to happen in uniformity, where, you know, the Pac-12 and the ACC and the SEC, we're all kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I think that lessens the tampering. I think what could have happened, and it, who knows, it might still, is that let's say the governor of Oregon would have held true on that proclamation that they weren't going to have any activities in September, and they would have lost that Ohio State game. This is just a hypothetical example. I want to clarify. If you would have seen teams at a noticeable disadvantage, I think you would have seen tampering in terms of players entering the portal in a massive, massive way. The only comparison that I have in the modern era is the recruiting of Tulane's players after Katrina and then the parking lot incident with Penn State as soon as Joe Paul was fired. Those are the two examples I have, but those are isolated incidents.
Are you surprised JT Daniels made his decision now? There was because of the rules about sitting out or not sitting out coming up?
No, because it's Georgia, because it gives an opportunity to win a national championship in a league and where essentially if you win the conference, you have an automatic bid into the playoff. And not only that, you're in the better division to do it. You're basically in a 1.5 horse race in the SEC East if you're either Florida or Georgia at this point. So, again, I think if you look at the probability, even though, like Chad mentioned, it's not an empty quarterback room. If you win that job and sustain there, it's probably the best measure. It's probably the best path you've got to the exposure you need to be a top-tier NFL pick.
Chad, how badly did Tennessee want JT Daniels?
I don't know. They were one of the first ones mentioned as a possibility, but it's tough to know. We're never really going to know how badly anyone wanted him other than Georgia, who landed him. But, I mean, it goes back to what we mentioned, Godfrey, quarterback free agency, that almost every coach is willing to take a former five-star prospect, regardless of the veteran quarterback situation or who it's going to offend, where, you know, even 5-10 years ago, I felt like you had more, okay, if you're Tennessee, you've got five-star Harrison Bailey as a freshman. We're going to recruit someone to be his backup, but that guy's pretty much going to know he's going to be the backup, and he's going to be a three-star player. But we're not going to bring someone in to insult the kid that's coming in. And I feel like places like Georgia and even Tennessee to an extent or wherever are just going to say, screw it, let's bring in as many quarterbacks as possible, and then we know three or four of them are going to leave to go somewhere else and try to start.
Remember, too, Georgia's going through a pretty substantial offensive overhaul because they're trying to modernize and pull in aspects of what LSU did. They lost Chaney as the OC to Tennessee, and they really were kind of listless in terms of what they – I mean, it cost them, in my opinion, a chance to be a legitimate playoff team at a handful of positions. Really, quarterback and wide receiver were the only places they didn't look like a top-tier, you know, national title-contending team. So they're in a bit of an identity crisis, so it's a little bit different than some of the other schools that we've talked about. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not sold yet on any – I'm one of the people who makes fun of Kirby on Twitter because, like, if you look at the record at this point and you look at Mark Richt's record at this point, I mean, I'm from the state of Georgia. I know where their reach exceeds their grasp, and I'm not sold yet.
Godfrey, what is the latest discussion on Podcast Ain't Played Nobody?
Not much right now because they furloughed my co-host.
Did they really?
Yeah. I'll be totally honest with you.
You don't pick it up with someone else out of respect for your co-host?
You got it, sir.
I like Paul, that.
Paul's
I respect that, Godfrey.
Got to exercise some agency in this time. Y'all know this. I'm not trying to get y'all in trouble. I love 104.5. Big smile.
You got it, man.
Agency is a word that has really expanded in its recent usage.
Yeah. Well, especially in the media, those of us who are used to just sort of working for a big corporate overlord and taking those orders are realizing now that we're all our own separate brands and businesses. And so, yeah, you're damn right. I'm going to exercise some agency.
That's why we love you. Godfrey, appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Coming up, we hit the headlines with David Reed in about 15 minutes. John McClain confirms he's good to go at 1:15 with the latest NFL discussion. Hooking up the phone lines for you here, 737-1045, 737-1045. Recap some of the great conversations we had earlier. David Long joined us. We talked SEC quarterback play in the 10 a.m. hour. and the anniversary of Catfish Jake with the Catfish on the Ice. Midday 180, Q'd Up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. Just a moment, we will get our weekly podcast update from Will Bowling. He has been a huge asset to this show and to the station, guys, during this broadcast from home series that we've been doing since mid-March. With all the logos, the podcasts, he's been helping out with the Midday Mixer as well. It's been tremendous. And the podcasts are always available, Chad, online, 1045thezone.com or wherever you download your podcasts.
We have a Wire podcast out also.
It's that's right.
A long time in the making, but a long gap between season two and season three reviews. But our season three review of our first watch, our initial watch as a show of The Wire, is up at the Midday 180 podcast page also.
Paul, if, for those who haven't joined the podcast review of The Wire, I'm guessing there's a chance that you could finish the entire series by the time we return on Monday?
I was watching last night, season 5, episode 7, I believe.
Okay.
And I'm not sure how many episodes there are. Chad and I are very different in this. I like to kind of be surprised as things approach their ending, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't want to know exactly when the ending is upon me, whereas he likes to know how many minutes are left. So
for the conclusion.
Yeah, for anything. How much is left in the episode? How much is left in the series? All of that stuff. So I fly blind.
Will Bowling joins us. Will, thanks. We mentioned thanks so much for all the hard work and effort you've been putting into the zone behind the scenes. Where are we right now? What has been the most listened to podcast this week?
So this week, you've got a good variety. John McClane from Tuesday's show is the leader in the clubhouse right now. You've got Primary Complaint, always a segment that performs very well on podcasts.
Like it.
But my personal favorite, if you want a picture of what the Midday 180 is and does well, you get the duo of Greg Cosell and Simon Kaharski in the same podcast from Hour 3 of, that was Wednesday's show. So those have performed very well this week. And you guys have crossed a very big milestone as of this morning, 200,000 podcast listens in the month of May. Big stuff from you guys, par for the course, and a very big number.
Absolutely. Those are football season numbers in May.
Without sports.
That's awesome.
They are.
Yeah, without sports also.
Well, I think
so
it's
big thanks to our listeners for sticking with us.
The listening habits, right? Like, I haven't been in my car all that much, so I'm listening to more podcasts for sure. I'm not listening live as much. So, I mean, I'm sure some of our listeners are listening live online instead of listening on their car, and they're going back to find the podcast through that same device that they're listening online with. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys have also hit 30,000 this week, so you guys have finished really strong. Chad and I were texting back at the beginning of May. 200,000 is the goal, so that's absolutely attainable, and here we are, boys.
So I am curious about this in terms of listening habits, because now we are podcasting the entire show at the end of the show, hour by hour. Do you find, Will, because you've got the numbers and you're looking at this all the time, do you find that people are quicker to go to the hour by hour breakdown or go specifically to individual segments, or is it a good cross section of both?
So they're going to the hour by hour breakdown right now. That's why we're trying to also highlight what you can listen to in each hour, just in the title of the podcast. So that's something we're going to do more moving forward. Say, hey, hour three featuring John McClane, Simon Kaharski, and Jonathan Hutton's Thursday Grievance, for example, from yesterday. Trying to give you guys a bigger peek into what you could be listening to and what you miss and what you miss during the show. That way you can go just kind of figure out something you like that maybe you hadn't heard from some of these hours, and then maybe you're seeking out that podcast like a Greg Cosell the following week.
Well, and there are podcast-specific audio. Like, not all on on the show. For instance, The Wire, our review of season 3 available. You're only going to get that on the 104.5 The Zone podcast page through midday 180. Chad with the Chip Chad. That hasn't left despite having to broadcast from home. He's been excellent at pre-taping a lot of things that will – do you do that every 2 weeks, Chad?
Yeah, 2 a month. So we had a long layoff because I like to gather live with someone. Now I'm able to do that at Black Rabbit. And my latest one was with Steve Cavendish, who the idea came about because Steve Cavendish came after me on Twitter about Nashville severe weather, and he had a good spirit about it. So I thought, hey, this is an interesting guy who's been around Nashville journalism a while, and we had a sit down over drinks and talked about the state of Nashville journalism. There's going to be another one dropping probably first of next week that's been recorded also, and then we'll start getting back on more of a first and 15th type schedule each month throughout the summer.
Elsewhere due to reemerge, and if I say now that it'll reemerge next week, then I have set a deadline for myself that I must meet. So it'll be based on a book called Sway, about all these forces that kind of push us to make decisions we make, often foolish ones.
So we're talking a lot about Midday 180 podcast and elsewhere with Paul and Chit Chat. A lot of other original Zone podcast as well. The Ultimate Tennessee podcast, Will, you host. I know you had a special guest this past week also, great for Vols fans. And you're hosting a Rookies podcast as well, right?
Yeah, I got a season 2 is going to drop next week for the Rookies of Nashville. So basically the whole point of that podcast is I'm almost 23 and live in Nashville, so I should be the one interviewing people that are also 22 or 23 and just happen to be playing sports and be much more athletic than me in Nashville. So the first season we had Dawson Knox, we had Amani Hooker, we had Matt Beatty from the Los Angeles Dodgers who played baseball at Belmont. But we're going to have a little bit of a different twist to start off season 2. We're going to feature a player from Nashville SC representing the rookie team in Nashville. So going to put a bit of a spin on that, and that'll be coming out either Thursday or Friday next week.
My alternate title proposal for that podcast was rejected. I wanted it to be called Kids Today.
At the kids table.
That's what everyone over 40 calls the podcast, is Kids Today. And everyone under 40 refers to it by its actual name of Rookies.
You can call it that, and I will call Paul Kaharsky elsewhere the Boomer Podcast, and we'll call it even.
Nice.
Old People Today is the new name of elsewhere.
That's not as catchy.
Hey, just know your demo. Just know your demo. People that maybe want more of the elsewhere, Paul, if you would just call it that. Call it what it
kids,
is.
The kids love me. Yesterday at dinner, I said something about dudes, and Simon said, don't say that. I said, what? He's like, yeah, it just doesn't sound right. You saying it. And I said, no, I'm going to say it until it sounds right. Dude.
Well, thank you, man. Appreciate your hard work. Hey, and last week's mixer or last night's mixer, which was the best of the two? Because those were the best of the entire series we had.
Yeah, last night's was awesome because I looked down at my clock and it was like 45 minutes over what we would normally go. And it felt like it had been just 2 hours. So it was really a lot of fun. And credit to you guys as well, because if I hope someone from Barrett Sports Media is listening to this, Dan Dockich is not bringing it to the level that you guys are in these midday mixers. Those have been excellent, and I've enjoyed being a fly on the wall for some of those as well.
Yeah, Dan will get suspended again and get number one. That's what happens.
Dan doesn't know what Zoom is.
He's going to trash some local high school in Indiana again, and he's going to get suspended for a week, and that'll propel him to number one again for a third straight year.
That's right.
Well, thank you, man. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you all.
See ya.
David Reed has the headlines next. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.